day is found in the book of the Acts, the 9th chapter, concerning the conversion of Paul. We find that Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughterings unto the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest for letters so that he could go to Damascus and bring back to Jerusalem men and women bound who were of this way and who believed in Christ Jesus. We gave you some history of this man, Saul, where that he was born, where his education was obtained from, and likewise how that he consented even to the death of Stephen. And now we find this man in the same position yet. He was a persecutor. He was injurious. He was a blasphemer. And he was one that hated Christianity. He hated Christ. And he, in his zeal and in his madness against Christianity, he went to the high priest and asked letters of him to go to Damascus. It seems that Saul was even worse than the high priest. These high priests, they usually try to convert different people, and they would proselyte them to the Jewish religion. But Saul, he was a Jew, and he was very zealous for his religion, and he was 7 times more a child of hell than even the high priest in persecuting these people, the Christians. And still, he was a vessel of mercy. He was a chosen vessel by God. And now he desired letters. The Sanhedrin, they had been given permission by the Roman government to handle all cases of religious matters concerning any of the Jews, and they could bring them to trial and they could sentence them. And the person that was ruling in the city of Damascus, the ruler there, he was favorable to the Jews. And therefore the Sanhedrin gave this man Saul permission to go ahead to bring back from Damascus all those that were of this way. Damascus was a city of 140 miles distance from Jerusalem. This is one of the oldest cities in the world. It was already at the time of Abraham. And according to visitors who have seen this city, when they approach it, it's one of the most beautiful sights that you've ever seen. They seem to come to a certain place which is quite a height, and they see in the distance this city, Damascus, 7 miles away. And they are all astounded at the sight that they see. This city then had likewise a church in it where the Christians congregated. As you know, they had been under persecution, and many of them had fled, and many of them felt very safe in this city, Damascus. They considered that there would be nobody to come there to take them prisoners. But here now we have Saul. He wanted to go there, and he got permission to go. And we find him leaving the city of Jerusalem. In all probabilities, he left it on horseback. He went with others that he was given from the high priest and from the Sanhedrin to go along with him, soldiers. And now when he came near unto the city of Damascus, probably at this height that I'm speaking about, probably where he seen the city in the distance, suddenly there shined a light round about him from heaven. And he fell down to the earth. He himself describes this light. He said it was a light that was brighter than the midday sun. Suddenly they were surrounded with a wonderful light. Those that were with him seen the light too, and they likewise all fell to the ground. And Saul fell flat on the ground, and he heard a voice speaking unto him, saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" This voice came from heaven. This man Saul, he was surrounded with a dazzling light, and he likewise heard a voice. Those that were with him seen the light, but did not hear the voice speaking unto them. They heard a sound, but they could not distinguish the words that were spoken. But Saul, he heard himself called by name, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Is this all that he's seen, just a light? Oh no, my hearers, he's seen Jesus Christ in this light. He's seen him as Stephen seen him at the right hand of God in all his glory. He's seen him with his natural eyes. He states this himself in 1 Corinthians 9. Am I not an apostle, he says? Have I not seen Jesus Christ? In another place he said he was seen of 500 brethren at one time, and last of all he was seen of me as of one born out of due time. He hereby establishes by this his apostleship later on in the scriptures, that he had seen Christ Jesus with his natural eyes, and Jesus called him by name. What a wonderful thing this must have been for this man. Never that he expected anything like this. He had been going in a murderous journey to Damascus, and here he was stopped. Here he was brought down to the earth. Here he was spoken to from heaven, and he heard Jesus speaking to him. And he answered and said unto him, Who art thou, Lord? And Jesus said unto him, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It was made very plain to Paul who it was that was speaking to him. This was the name that he blasphemed. This was the name that he hated. This was the name of the creatures who he was going to persecute and take back even unto Jerusalem. They believed in this Jesus of Nazareth, and now he heard this wonderful name, the only name given under heaven, a precious name. I hope it may be precious to every one of you. He heard Jesus say, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. How could he persecute Christ? Christ was in heaven. Christ had ascended up into glory. By these words, Christ meant that he was persecuting him and his followers. He that toucheth you, he says, toucheth the apple of mine eye. And he had spoken likewise unto his people, they have hated me, they shall hate you. They have persecuted me, they shall persecute you. Here was a persecutor. Here was a man intent on destroying Christianity if he possibly could. And here we find him lying on the ground. Here we find this lion, this wolf, this tiger who was going forth to destroy the flock, laying on the ground, saying, Who art thou, Lord? Oh, he received an answer immediately. Oh, my hearers, when you consider this, what a wonder this must have been for this man, Saul. He here was given to see Jesus, to hear his voice, and to be assured that it was Jesus. How many souls listening to me are saying, Oh, how quickly did this man get to know Jesus? Here I've been seeking him for years and years, and I have not yet found him. Oh, that he would say to me, I am Jesus. That he would put this question out of doubt for my immortal soul. This man immediately was given to know Jesus, to hear Jesus. And now he said unto him, Who art thou, Lord? And Jesus spake unto him in this way. And we find that this man lying on the ground was immediately given to know against whom he was sinning. His sin was persecution. He was persecuting the church, the people of God. This was his foremost sin. Oh, surely, had he known that Jesus was the Messiah, had he believed this, he never would have persecuted the church of Christ. He'd done it in his ignorance, in his blindness, in his zeal for his own religion. And while he was laying there, we find that all his past sins came up before him. In this wonderful light, in this meeting with Christ, he lay there. He couldn't go any further. And he gave himself over into the hands of Jesus. And he said unto him, "What wilt thou have me to do?" Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, this was for this man, that he consented to do whatever the Lord had in store for him to do. "What wilt thou have me to do?" How many of my hearers have been brought there? Oh, what a mercy that you can't go on any longer. What a mercy that you fall in before the Lord. What a mercy that you inquire, "What wilt thou have me to do?" Oh, Paul then desired to know what he had for him to do. And now the Lord spake unto him and said, "Arise, and go into the city of Damascus, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Of this man then Saul arose from the earth. And what had happened to him? He was blind. He couldn't see. The soldiers weren't blind. Those that were with him weren't blinded. But Saul, he was blind. He had to be led by the hand into the city of Damascus. This man who was going to lead these Christians back to the city of Jerusalem bound, who was going to bring them before the Sanhedrin, and they would stand trial, and if they would not renounce Christ, they surely would die. We find him now blind, having to be led by the hand by somebody else to the city of Damascus. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, that God is gracious and long-suffering. And the Lord Jesus Christ could have shined so down upon him and cast him immediately into hell. This is what this man deserved. This is what he actually should have received. But oh, this great God in heaven above is so gracious and so merciful. Who can fathom this, that such a man was stopped in the midst of his persecution and brought to the feet of Christ and given to say, "What wilt thou have me to do?" And now he's blind. Whether they put him back on horseback and led him back to the city of Damascus, the scripture does not say. Some think he wasn't on horseback. Some think that he was walking, and they had to lead him by the hand to the city of Damascus. And he was 3 days, the scripture says, that he was blind, that he did not eat, and that he did not drink. 3 days this man was in the city of Damascus. He was in the road called, or the street called Straight. This road ran from one end east to the west part of the city, about a mile long and about 100 feet wide. And he was in a certain house. A man by the name of Judas, the scripture says, the commentary believes that it was an inn that they stopped in. And that here Saul was for 3 days and 3 nights. The commentaries believe, some of them, that it was at this time that he had this rapture that you read of, which he speaks of, that he knew a man 14 years in Christ. And whether it had happened in the body or out of the body, he did not know. But he had been taken up into paradise. Some think that this took place in these 3 days that he was in the city of Damascus. But Matthew Henry says, no, he does not go along with that. He believes that Paul was in the belly of hell 3 days, that the terrors of God's law and of his justice fell upon him, and that he was so troubled concerning his state and concerning his condition and what the Lord would do to him, that he had no desire to eat or to drink. His state and condition was similar to David in the 116th Psalm. We may believe that he uttered the depths cried to the Lord, and that he cried and sighed and groaned and petitioned him, for he was under the terrors of God. This man, Saul, for 3 days and three nights, suffered tremendously, I believe myself, in this way. And now while he was there, then God came to him, and he spake unto him, and told him in a vision that a man by the name of Ananias would come unto him and lay his hands upon him, and he would be given his sight again. And we find then Paul praying and groaning and sighing unto God for mercy, for pardon, for peace, and God heard him. God said that he would send somebody to him, that he would be given again to see. He had a promise then that this would actually take place. And we find that God came to a man by the name of Ananias, who was a devout man, who was an inhabitant of the city of Damascus, and who was well reported of by the Jews. This man had likewise been converted and been brought over unto Christianity. And this man was going to be used as a minister for the comfort of this man, Saul. And we find that God came to him and spake unto Ananias in a vision, and said unto him, Ananias. And he said, I am here, Lord, what wilt thou? He said, arise and go into the street called Street, and inquire in the house of one Judas after a man named Saul, for behold, he prayeth. This is the voice of God unto Ananias. This is what God said of Saul. Oh, my hearers, you know Saul was a Pharisee, one of the chiefest of Pharisees. And we know from Scripture that the Pharisees were accustomed to make long prayers. They stood on the street corners and in the temples, and they were noted for their long prayers. Many probably had heard Paul pray, for he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But oh, I wish you and I could have heard this man praying now. I don't think he had many words to say. I don't think he prayed like he was when he was back in Jerusalem in the temple. Oh, this man, he was praying. For God said, behold, he prayeth. Oh, what sighs, what groans, and what cries must have went up unto God out of the heart and soul of this man, Saul. Oh, Ananias then was commissioned by God to go to him. My hearers, can it be said of you and I? And can God say of you and I, behold, he prayeth? Have you any places where you go, where you groan, where you sigh, where you cry unto God? You are not troubled about your sins. You are not troubled about eternity. You are not thinking, what shall become of me if suddenly I should be cut off? You never go alone in secret. All my hearers, believe me, you might just as well find a man that is breathless as find a Christian that is prayerless. If we have no breath, we are lifeless. And if we have no prayer, we are graceless, believe me. This was the beginning of a life of prayer for this man, Saul. You know of a time when it began with you? Maybe you say, well, I was taught from when I was a child. My father and mother taught me to pray, and as I grew up into manhood and I got married, I continued to pray. Do you just say your prayers? Or do you really pray from the heart? Do you come with honest petitions and longings and desires? Can you say with the psalmist, all my prayer is before thee, all my groaning and my sighing is not hid from thee? My hearers, believe me, if you are leading a life without prayer, you are a graceless person. And it cannot be said of you as it was said of Saul, behold, he prayeth. How I wish that we could say of everyone that's listening to me, Behold, they pray truthfully, sincerely, uprightly. And now this man Ananias, when God said unto him that he should go to this street, he objected. He said unto the Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how that he hath persecuted the saints in Jerusalem, and how that he hath letters from the high priest to come here and to take those bound back to Jerusalem. Is it any wonder that this man spake in this way to the Lord? You may be sure that this man, with many of the Christians that were in Damascus, were likewise trembling and afraid when they had heard that Saul was coming to persecute them and take them back to Jerusalem. But the people at this time were so gifted with the Spirit of God, and there was so much prayer in these people, that I was thinking, I wonder if some of them were not praying. I truthfully believe many of them were praying that God would hinder this man from coming to Damascus, that God would do something to him, that he wouldn't be able to fulfill his purpose. But there may have been some, very few probably, that were praying that God might convert him, that God might change him and make him a disciple of himself. It's possible. It's not in the scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to pray for those that persecute us and that hate us and that revile us. Oh, who can do this? This man Ananias, when he was told to go to this man, he put up this objection. My hearers thinking of this, I think there are so many people too that give themselves out to be Christians. And when they know someone of an opposite faith, someone that is enmity and bitterness against Christians, they wouldn't have anything to do with them. They shun them, they wouldn't speak to them, and they wouldn't help them out either if they were in trouble. Contrary to the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, pray for them that despitefully use you. Oh, who can do it, my hearers? This man Ananias, he looked up against this to go there. He had a legitimate excuse, but now the Lord in patience and in mercy said unto him, go, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name unto the Gentiles, and I will show unto him how much that he must suffer for my name. Ananias then arose. He had no more objections to make. The Lord said that he was a chosen vessel unto him. Oh, my hearers, this man saw. He was then, in the foreknowledge of God, one who was to be born again, who was to become an apostle, who was to bear the news, the glorious news that Jesus Christ came into the world for sinners, of whom he was chief. Oh, he was to be an example. He was to be one that could proclaim throughout the world the wonderful grace of God shown unto himself. Ananias was told that this man was a chosen vessel unto me. Oh, my hearers, whenever you see someone doing things that are so inconsistent and that are so contrary to God and to his truth, do not put your finger upon him, for you know not. He may be, in the foreknowledge of God, a chosen vessel. We know not who they are, my hearers. God only knows these. For this man, then, was chosen by God from all eternity, who was given unto Christ in the council of peace. And now it became the time that the Spirit of God descended into him, and he was born again. He was given a new life, and he was given likewise that he received the pardon of his sins, that he was justified. And not only that, he was given to be called an apostle, so that he could bear the name of Christ unto the Gentiles and to the Jews, that they may believe in him. Ananias then was convinced from the mouth of God that he was a saint, that he was one of God's dear children. And he had such faith in what God had given him to hear that he immediately arose. And he went to this place where this man was, Saul. And he entered into the house, and he laid his hands upon him. And he says, "Brother Saul," oh, I like that word. I was thinking when I read that, I can see this man, Ananias, so overpowered by the love of God in his own soul towards this man, fully convinced that he was a vessel of mercy. In all probabilities, he encircled him with his arms. And he spake unto him and said, "Brother Saul," oh, what a difference this was in comparison to what he had been thinking and fearing. He spake unto him, he lay his hands upon him, and he says, "Jesus, whom thou hast seen in the way, has sent me unto you, that you may receive your sight, and that you may be filled with the Holy Ghost." Immediately then, scales fell from his eyes, and he was immediately given to see. He was immediately filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, God took possession of him. God came down and dwelt in him. And so convinced was he himself that he immediately ate something and was strengthened, and he was baptized. He was then received already into the church of God. This man saw. Oh, what a miracle. What a wonder. He could tell wherever he went where Christ had met with him, what Christ had done to him. He speaks two times in this book, the Acts, concerning of this wonderful thing that happened to him on the way to Damascus. And we find that he was with the disciples a few days in Damascus, and he immediately preached Christ. I like this too. Oh, how fearful are we, poor creatures, even though we have had experiences from God and can believe that he has a favor to us. Oh, how silent are we. Oh, how little do we come out for his name. This man immediately went into the synagogue and he began to preach Christ. What a wonder this must have been to the people. They all had heard that he was coming there to destroy them, and here he was in the synagogue preaching Jesus Christ and proving to the Jews that he was the very Son of God. Oh, my hearers, who can understand what God has done with this man, and how wonderful this must have been for this man himself, how changed he was. The name that he blasphemed, that he tried to destroy, he now declared. And everybody said, "Isn't this not he who has sought after those in Jerusalem and went after them that declared that they believed in this name? And now he himself is preaching the same." Oh, this man, he so preached Christ in the synagogue to Damascus that the Jews, they became so angry with him that they went about and planned to kill him. The Lord Jesus Christ likewise had said, "They have persecuted me, they shall persecute you." He had been a persecutor himself, and now the scene was changed. They would seek his life. They would take his life if possible. And now they found out that they were guarding the gates of the city so that he couldn't escape. And we find that the disciples took him at night and they led him over the wall in a basket, so that he could flee from the city of Damascus, so that his life would not be taken. And then he came to the city of Jerusalem, according to this chapter, and he essayed to go to the disciples, but they were afraid of him. You could imagine that they were. What had he done in the city of Jerusalem? And they feared him. But now Barnabas, he took him aside, and he began to tell Barnabas what had taken place with him on the way to Damascus, and how he had seen Jesus, and how he had been called to be an apostle, and what had went on in the street called Street. And then Barnabas took him into the disciples and explained to him that he himself was now a disciple. All the wonder that took place in the city of Jerusalem and amongst the disciples. He was then a beloved brother. He was then a vessel of mercy chosen by God. Oh, my hearers, this conversion of Paul is the wonder of the church. And now what happened to this man, Paul, must happen to you and me. This man, he was a persecutor. He was injurious. He was a hater of Christianity, and he followed after the Christians to slay them. Surely you say, well, I'm not that. No, you're not that. But believe me, my hearers, we all are enemies of Christ. By nature, we are enemies of our own salvation. We will not have Jesus to reign over us. And we go on in our sins irrespective of all what we hear and all what we are spoken to about. We will not listen. We will not have this man to be prophet, priest, and king over us. And as this man was going on the way, doing things contrary to God and to his Son, he was stopped. So it must take place with me and you, my hearers. And we likewise need not this wonderful conversion that this man had. Very few can testify like this man. Then and then on the way to Damascus, Christ appeared to me. How many of you who have a faint hope in your soul that God has begun some good work therein, cannot even remember probably the day, the time, cannot remember even the sermon under which it took place. This is not so necessary, my hearers. But oh, has God come down into your soul as he let down light round about this apostle, and it caused him to fall to the ground? Has God come down into your soul with his wonderful light? Has he given you to see yourself as you never saw yourself before? A monster of sin and of iniquity. And that you had to do with that God, and that he could immediately cut you off and throw you into hell, which would be so just, which you feared he would do. And all has it brought you down, crying and sighing unto God as it did this apostle? Oh, my hearers, this is necessary, believe me. We must be born again. We must receive a new life. And God begins this work in this manner. We are in darkness. We are blind. And we need this light to come down to show unto us ourselves in the sight of him and in the sight of his holy law. And this man likewise lying on the ground, he heard a voice speaking unto him. Now you may not have heard this voice so distinguishedly. You may not have heard it so clearly. But you have probably heard the voice of Jesus speaking in his law. Cursed is he that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. And the curses of God's holy law have come home to your heart, and you have fell under them. You have admitted that you deserve to be cursed away, and you have been given then to hear his voice through the law. But this is the first voice that we hear. We don't distinguish this as Christ's voice, but it's a voice of love. It's a voice of mercy towards a poor sinner who is brought down and given to know himself as one of the chiefest, as the greatest of sinners. This man, when he inquired who it was that was speaking unto him, he had an answer. I am Jesus. How many souls have I here? Inquiring the same thing and saying, Lord, is it thy voice? Can I believe that you are speaking to me? Would you make it plain and clear for me? Oh, I'm so confused. I don't know what it is. Are any of you troubled in this way? And this man prayed, and he got an answer. How long have you been praying? That you might receive some clearness, some strengthening of faith, that it's Jesus that's speaking to you. Oh, he said unto him, I am Jesus. Oh, wouldn't you like him to say that to you? Oh, I think some say I'd give everything I had if he only would say this to me and give me to know that he loves me, that he has a favor towards me. Oh, my irresistible man, he went a little step further than we. Yes, this man, he was given likewise. In those 3 days that he couldn't see, that he didn't even eat or drink, he was given to experience the justification of his soul in the sight of God. He was given to find peace through the blood of this precious Jesus who he had persecuted. Oh, you can imagine how he loved him then. He went all over the world after that preaching this precious Christ. And if he ever reveals this to your soul, my hearers, then you will not have a tongue long enough to proclaim his praise, that ever he saved such a creature like you. And this is what this apostle was given to do. Oh, the mercy, the wonder of the God of heaven and of earth towards sinners. Oh, in this, my hearers, who should despair? Did a man like this receive grace? Did he find mercy? Then why not you and I? Oh, let us storm the throne of grace, that he may be merciful unto us, and point him to this very man and say, Lord, look, there you stopped him. Why not me, Lord? He is an example unto all that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This man, he went forth speaking in this way to sinners, proving unto them that there was pardon, that there was peace for the greatest of sinners, because he himself had found it to be so. This concludes our lesson for today. The Lord bless and sanctify his word to our own hearts, for his name's sake. Amen.